Hi, this is Taylor.
And Cameron.
And you're listening to the Black Maid and Debt Free Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. Shira, I'm glad to be trying this again with you. We tried to record and it was going so good, and things happen, so we gotta record this again. Shira, how are you doing today? How was your weekend?
Yes, I am doing well. We just got home from a staycation. No, not a staycation. We got home from a mini vacation.
Yes.
So we were able to leave the city and go off to a lake and enjoy some time there. And so it was really nice.
It was dope. It was dope, Shira. But we got to talk about this lake real quick, because me and the kids went into the lake, you know, we getting our feet in it, and man, I thought I was getting into a swamp. I mean, that thing was like a sewer. Is that what lakes are? You know what I mean? Because it just wasn't clean enough for me.
I don't think it helped that it's called Clear Lake. So we went to Clear Lake. And I think because of the name.
Yeah.
You know, the children, and I think there was a false hope that the lake would actually be clear.
Yes, absolutely.
But I had no intentions on getting in that lake, so I'm sorry that it didn't work out for you all, but...
Yeah, Shira was just staring at us, but, you know, all in all, it was a great trip.
We need to get a boat next time.
Yeah, next time we need to go on and get a boat. But yeah, I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be on this episode with you. So let's do this before we get going, because we got a really dope conversation for you today. Before we do this, let's have some announcements. Please, please, please leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy this podcast. And what we're going to do is we're going to gift you our masterclass. So you just need to leave us a 5-star review and then come and email us at blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com. Let us know that you left a review, and then we're going to respond with a link to our masterclass, Get Out of Debt and Start Building Wealth. Many have taken advantage of this masterclass, and they are thoroughly enjoying it. So we want to give that to you. Also, I just dropped a lo-fi collection of music. As you can hear the music in the background, and as you know me and Shira by now, we all about curating a vibe. And so we have Chai Tea Vibes Volume 2 available for debt-free, you know, stream on Spotify. So go on and stream that. It could be the soundtrack to your debt-free journey or your financial journey. So, all right, Shira, let's get into it once again. Now, we've never touched on this topic before. You know, we kind of skated around it, you know what I mean? But we're going to get into it today, Shira. We're talking Manosphere, right?
Ooh.
The Manosphere is a collection of websites, blogs, and online forums promoting, to varying degrees, masculinity and the overall opposition to feminism, or the man version of feminism, right? You know, promoting masculinity. And so... This community was really made popular by the YouTuber and influencer Kevin Samuels, which we've never touched on him. Rest in peace. He actually passed away. But yes, did you want to get into that, Shira? Did you want to talk about your thoughts on Kevin Samuels at all before we go deep?
I'm willing to go wherever you want to go.
We could put a pin in that, you know what I mean? But if you're not familiar with him, very controversial YouTuber. I found him highly entertaining. I'm going to just say that. I found him very entertaining, very controversial in some ways. But, you know, I thought he's a very entertaining YouTuber. Shy, what you think?
Well, rest in peace, Kevin Samuels. Yeah. Obviously, it's been a while since he's.
I think we want to know a woman's thoughts on him. Forget my thought.
Well, I'm not going to give too much, you know, of my thoughts. But I did watch Kevin Samuels, and I was really sad to hear that he had passed.
Yeah.
And I feel that a lot of people benefited from what he had to say. Mm-hmm. I feel that the people that participated in his program called in voluntarily, seeking out his counsel. And
that's true.
There was a lot of, you know, people agree with what he had to say. A lot of people disagree with what he had to say. But it also speaks to the state of Black America, where we have to call in to a YouTuber to get good sound advice.
Right.
And I feel that it's sad that many young women, because that's who he was talking to, really didn't feel like they could go to their father, or that they could go to, you know, another male in their life to get to hear a man's perspective on who they need to become in order to attract a man.
Not a male.
I know that his program focused in on a certain caliber of man, high earning men,
high value.
But he was also advocate for the everyday man, hence why he was a big voice in the manosphere. And I think one of the things that he wanted women to know was that it's okay to be with an average man. Mm-hmm. And many of us are average women, you know, and there's nothing wrong. Maybe average is not the
best
word.
Why is average wrong, though?
Because average is a C, sweetie. And you grow up.
Hey, I graduated.
I never wanted a C. Like, when I was, thank you. But when I was in school, you know, I tried to get the highest marks. And then, so C is average and it's in the middle. And for some reason it had this, negative connotation. So maybe I shouldn't use that when we're talking about men. But I think that is...
Median?
I think average is the word that he used. So I'm going to go ahead and use it and not try to skate around the word. But I think his message was it's okay for a woman, an average woman, to be with an average man.
Yes.
And he had a reality check about what it means to be with a Black man, because many Black women, we love Black men. Mm-hmm. And so he would say, okay, well, the average Black man, this is the salary of an average Black man. And are you willing to accept that? And so he was just providing a male perspective.
Perspective.
And for a lot of women did not have that. A lot of women do not have that. And so they went to an online figure to solicit their advice, and they solicited his counsel.
Yeah.
And so the Manosphere actually predates Kevin Samuels.
Absolutely.
He did not start the Manosphere. The Manosphere has been around for a long time. But to your point, yes, he popularized he made it well known. And now we have all these other, people trying to pop up, trying to be the next Kevin Samuels. But I think Kevin Samuels, I have not seen anyone quite like him. Nah. And Lord rest his soul. Yeah. Go ahead.
Here's the thing too, Shire. In many ways, like, sorry, I got sidetracked. But in many ways, like, competition shows existed before Simon Cowell, but that the way Simon did it, right, it just made it more mainstream.
Yes,
right?
It was all
done in the spirit of entertainment.
Yes,
and I think with Kevin, a lot of it was. He knew that this is going to make people laugh. It's going to be polarizing. These are going to make people love me or hate me, which is content creation 101. If I'm in the middle, I'm nothing. If I'm loved or hated, I get views. And so he knew that. And I think he played up to that.
I agree with that. But I also think that Kevin took it beyond entertainment. I felt that he felt that it was his life's mission to do this.
And
yes, I'm sure he was motivated by all the income that it produced when his YouTube page finally blew up. But I felt that it was more than entertainment for him. Yeah. I felt that he was saying what he was saying because that is what he truly believed. And he felt that that was the way that he was going to make an impact on the world.
One would say he thought it was his purpose. So that brings us to today's conversation. Excellent segue. A very well-known philosophy within the Manosphere is this, Shire, and I want to get your opinion because we had a great conversation about this, multiple conversations now, but I want to get this on record. The thought or the philosophy within the Manosphere is that a man should first be dedicated to his purpose and secondly, his wife. or I think even they've even said God purpose wife, but let's just take God out of for the sake of this conversation. What do you think about that? Do you agree? I was actually surprised by your thought, and the thought process behind it is that a wife will get a better quality man, right? You'll get a man that's more focused, a man that's a better whole if he's focused on his purpose first. Mm-hmm. And you'll reap the benefits of a better husband or spouse because of it. Do you agree with that first? Yes or no? Yes or no? And then you could dig on it.
Okay. I really like that you brought this question to me. Okay. And anyone who's in a manosphere is about to get very angry with me because I'm not just going to say yes or no.
You're going to give us word salad, right?
No, I'm not going to give you word salad. And if it feels that way, I really do apologize. And I hope that there is some substance, you know, in what I'm going to share and, you know, more substance that will come out as we have this conversation.
Right.
But in terms of a man having a purpose, having a vision for his life, I definitely feel that that is important. I feel that relationships suffer when a man is not on his quote unquote purpose, or a man is not focused or working towards something, the relationship suffers. I think Black men suffer enough. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to be a Black man in America.
Right.
And I think that further takes its toll when this man is in a relationship with a woman and this man doesn't have goals or aspirations or a plan for his future.
Right.
Okay. And so the other thing that we talked about this idea for a single man. And so a single man who is considering whether or not to look for a wife. Mm. So if a man is on his purpose, he needs to also consider, well, what is the purpose of marriage? Mm. What is the purpose of a wife? What is her role? And so for the context of this conversation, and I know that folks have heard this before, will say that a woman or a wife is to be a helpmate.
Yes.
And so if a man is considering his vision and he says, I got this by myself, then maybe this is a man who's not ready for marriage, or maybe he
wants to go it alone.
He needs to go it alone. Mm. But if there's a man who has a vision for his life and he says, I think I need help. I think I need a woman. Mm-hmm. I need a helpmate. Then that is a man who I think who should consider marriage.
Mm. So I love that, Shire. So what you're saying is you feel that there maybe is two different types of purpose, right? So a purpose from a single man's perspective is maybe may not need or even consider where a woman would fit into it.
But this is a man who should consider marriage. A man that should consider marriage is a man where he understands the purpose of a wife.
Gotcha.
And he believes that a wife, he's looking at his wife to be a helpmate for him, someone that can help him to achieve his goal or objective, or be there to support.
Gotcha.
His goal or objective.
I
wasn't saying there was two kinds of visions.
Okay.
But I'm just saying how the individual man perceives his vision, right?
Yes. I like that, Shire. So let's go there because you gave a nice definition of this. And I would like to hear you say it again. I'll kind of push back, but I still like your overall thought on what is purpose. Let's get that locked in. So what do you feel? What is purpose to you?
Yes. So when you asked me this, we were taking a long drive home and you asked me this question.
Yes.
And of course, this is like the question that everyone wants to know the answer to.
Yes.
They made a whole video. Like, was it Disney or Pixar? Somebody made a whole movie called Soul. Remember that? And it was pretty much him trying to find his purpose.
Right.
You know, that was kind of one of the themes that was in the movie. And so when you asked me, the thought that came to my mind is a purpose is a person's overall life objective.
Objective. I like that.
So what is your overall life objective? Mm. And does a wife fit into your overall life objective? Mm. Taking that definition and making it very clear that an overall life objective, in my opinion, is not a job. So a purpose is not a job, and it's not a job title.
Right. And I agree with that. My only pushback would be, and I think you're going to agree, you've agreed with this, is that while it's not the job singularly, the job can help you see the overall goal. So the job may
achieve. It can help you achieve.
Means to an end.
Right.
And, you know, it may be a large part of how you meet that goal. And so
a goal or a purpose.
Or how you meet that purpose. Right. So if I want to weave the if I'm Muhammad Ali and I want to be the greatest, right? Yes. I want to be the greatest. I need to train and work to get to that point.
Yes.
Right? If I feel like being the greatest is my purpose, I need to work to get there. Right.
Right.
So what do you say to that?
Yes. And so considering Muhammad Ali, he said, I am the greatest.
Mm. Yeah,
he declared that. He manifested that. He became that, right? And you have to say, well, he was married.
Yep.
He had children. And so someone, I would assume, who's married to, you know, his wife, the one who was married to Muhammad Ali, would have understood the sacrifice,
right.
The time sacrifice. Right. He might not be home all the time.
Putting in the work.
He's putting in the work. And so, yes, this person is an athlete. He was a boxer. Said he was going to be the greatest. Mm-hmm. Many believe that he achieved that. I would say that he achieved that.
Yes.
But one of the good things about Muhammad Ali is that not only was he saying that I'm going to be the greatest in boxing, mm-hmm. I think that that vision for his life extended beyond the ring.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
Look, if you follow us on Instagram, I know that we did a post once where it was Muhammad Ali saying, you know,
when thinking about should he take on another fight or should he retire? He already was the greatest in his eyes.
Right, Mark.
In many eyes.
Yeah, so he was already the greatest. And then he said he would start thinking about his children and his children are going to have to go to college and his children, might need help purchasing a home. And so then he said he would consider all of these things. And then he would say, okay, I'm going to take on one more fight, you know? So though, you know, I think that if we looked at his overall life's objective, his overall life objective extended beyond his legacy as a boxer, but it also included his legacy as a father, his legacy as a man.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
Do you think I love that, Shire. Do you think it's possible for purpose to start from a selfish one, what someone would deem a selfish start, but then in the end benefit more than just that person? So what if when he started boxing, I just wanted to be the greatest, like, but then along the path your mind begins to say, well, shoot, I'm creating generational change for my kids, and if I keep doing this, I could even affect my grandkids. And so do you think that that's possible, that like purpose can change? Like maybe from the jump, my purpose is just, man, I want to make this. Maybe it starts off as a goal, right? And then do you think it can transform into purpose over time? Do you think that's possible?
I think with Muhammad Ali I don't know. I don't know his life story, right?
Right.
I don't know that if he started making all this money and then one day he got an epiphany and said, wow, I can do good with this money. He might have known that from the beginning.
From the beginning. You never know.
And so one of the things that, if you read the book, look at me, if you read a book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I believe it's Stephen Covey, one of the things that he talked about was begin with the end in mind.
Mm.
And that is so important. For me as a wife, it's easier for me to get behind my husband when he has taken on a project or he has a goal or a vision for something and he's beginning with the end in mind. That means that he can see what can't necessarily be seen right now. He can see where he's going to be in the future, though he hasn't, you know, accomplished it or hasn't been manifested quite yet. So I think that, sure, your purpose can change with time because you change. You're going to change. You're going to evolve. And it might take time to actually to figure out, you know, what your purpose is.
And I love this, Shire.
Yeah. And so So in the context of Muhammad Ali, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But in general, is it possible for your purpose to change? Absolutely. But I think one of the core pieces of your question was, can purpose be selfish? And my answer to that was no.
Ooh. I'm going to say we slightly disagree there.
Because, I mean, you can look at the example with Muhammad Ali. Nothing he did was selfish. Nothing.
I think the overall is selfless. But yeah. There has to be moments of selfishness within the journey, right? So
how is it selfish to practice your craft if you're doing it for something beyond yourself?
I feel like you have an excellent mindset. Okay. Whereas maybe not everyone would have that. See, because like me and you know this for be fact, Shire. When you plan something, when you decide we're going to do X, Y, Z, or this is the purpose. We both agree. We've communicated about it. How many times have we talked about something that's like, man, for sure, that's what we're going to do? Even when it comes to content strategy or mm-hmm. anything we plan. When you're planning it, it's like, man, that's good. We're starting this tomorrow. Then as the journey goes on, you start to be like, man, well, you start to almost forget.
Yes.
You can lose sight of it.
Of course you can lose sight.
So I'm thinking like if a man is focused on his purpose, would you agree that there may be some times when a woman may or the wife may say, well, why do you have to be locked in so much on that? I want you to do. Don't you think there's moments where like there could be friction along the journey to
a man's purpose? That's okay. Fair. That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah,
it's fair, and you should anticipate those conversations, especially if you are someone with a demanding job, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and there has to be times in your relationship where you remember the path that you're on.
Right.
Maybe you had a vision, but now you need a revision to the vision. You need a revision to the goal. Yeah. You know, maybe this is not something that we should be pursuing right now. Maybe this is not the right time. Or my wife's not feeling heard. Okay, well, that don't mean it's time to get a divorce.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's fair. It's to be expected. I think that, because we're talking about the manosphere.
This is good. I was going to transition right where okay. you're going.
So I think that in the manosphere, when we are receiving advice from people who have not been able to have a successful marriage, or we get advice from people who are single, and I'm not necessarily talking about Kevin Samuels right now, but I think that we get a false perception of what it's like to really be married.
Yeah. I've often said, I think there needs to be a separate division of the manosphere. I understand the, because I think it's, you know, celebrating masculinity overall is a good idea. I just think there needs to be a division of married manosphere because the things that are in the strategies and the philosophy discussed by the single division of manosphere, which probably most of them are, right? Those sound good in principle, in theory. But when you're conjoining or congealing, whatever word you want to use, with a whole human being, mm-hmm. it's hard to be so rigid. And I think that's what we're seeing in regards to people not wanting to be married, is because everyone's so rigid with their program.
Okay.
And the older you get, you almost need to be more soft on some stances because you're joining with another person that has a whole program of their own, and they're a young lady's coming into it saying your program's not no better than mine. I mean, this is how I've been doing life. So I think that's the problem, is when you're trying to put some of these philosophies in action of having your purpose and I'm doing my man thing. I feel that because women need strong men. Women want strong men. But when you're putting it into real action, it looks differently than it does to me with the single men in the manosphere. I think like okay. they're really hard and rigid. Like they're like a lot of them are just gonna stay single. Like I'm just gonna keep it 100. Like it's just that's how it's gonna be. And if everybody's cool with that, then all for it. But me, I actually want a nice warm body in the bed with me.
Oh Lord,
I kind of like that. You know what I'm saying? So I think there needs to be some middle ground, maybe a married man's division of the manosphere.
Well, I am definitely not the one to start that as a woman.
I might start that, fellas.
I think that it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible to work together and have a successful relationship.
Absolutely.
And for the woman to be a helpmate to a man as he's fulfilling his whatever it is that he's working on. And they will both share in the sacrifice, and they should both share in the reward.
Yeah.
And also, as a woman, this is my only life. Mm. This is all I got. Just like your life is all, you know, all you have. We talk on planet Earth. This is it.
Right.
And so consider that, you know, as well, that if you're married, your wife is going to have goals. Your wife is going to have dreams. And as your husband, do you want to pour a bucket of water on that and say, get on my program, and this is how it's going to be? And I think that when you love someone mm-hmm. in a way that, I mean, if you love someone deeply, it's easy to get on someone's program mm-hmm. when they love you and you know that.
Right.
You know, but I don't know.
This is good. This
save
is great
me because I'm free falling.
No, sorry.
I'm free falling, but I think it's definitely possible to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I come from a school of like everything. Every coupling is going to look different. What works That's with true. This these two might not work with those two. With these two, I mean, we see it with the different relationships that we know. We have relationships that are extremely male dominant. We have relationships that are very, you know, both kind of, you know, having their kind of say, a more modern, if you will. And then we see some, you know, female driven relationship, you know, dominant relationships, I guess. But I guess at the end of the day, it's like whatever works for you.
A female dominated relationship.
Well, not dominant, but like strong female. Could that ever work? Like if this was a movie, it would have a strong female lead, right? Maybe not dominant, but. Anyway, I just think it's like put it, get it off the paper, get it off of the blogosphere, and kind of putting it into action. It might look a little different. Much of it is just having these conversations, like me and you just had on the whole drive home, me and you having now. You know, a lot of it I think is conversation. You know, Shia, let's just be transparent. We've had conversations here recently of how I feel myself shifting as I age, and you know, and it's not fair to go through a transition or go through a philosophy change or something without discussing it with your partner. It can't just be like, yo, this is the hey, I'm just evolving to this and you just need to get with it and this and that. No, I think like a lot of things could be saved with talks, with conversations, right? Hey, I feel this way. Well, I feel this way. And then you come to something in the middle. And it can only be good from there. It can only be up from there.
Yeah, and I think that's the reality of relationship, that people change, yeah. People grow, people evolve. We were married at 21, and Facts. It's been many years. We celebrated 15 years recently.
Yeah, we did.
And you're not the same person. And I'm not. No, you are. You're different. Okay, yeah. You're different.
Yes.
And I'm different too.
Yeah.
But what I am striving to be is better.
Yeah.
A better wife. I didn't come to this marriage perfect. And I think many times people say, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Take me as I am. Take it or leave it. And I can tell you, that attitude does not work in a relationship.
No, it really doesn't.
You got to be pliable. Okay.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
I'm not talking to the men. I'm talking to the women right now. Okay. You have to be pliable.
Yeah.
You have to be pliable.
I agree.
You have to be willing. I'm not saying let go of yourself, but what is? Do you want to be by yourself or you want to be in a marriage?
Yeah.
So you have to be flexible. You have to be pliable. You have to know, hey, my man, he's not the same person. He's full grown. Like this, like he's changing. You fall back. Mm. Watch. Like I'm still learning you after all of these years.
Yeah.
After all of these years, it's like the color purple. I think the lady that see when she said, Hoppo, who this woman? Sometimes I look at you and I'm thinking, Shira,
who this man?
Who is this man?
Yeah,
and that's the reality of a relationship.
Yeah. So I mean, discuss the elephant in the room. Talk these things out. You know, if you know you're changing, if you see your person changing, you know, I just think it's cool to just bring it up and just talk about it. You know, so
and then be aware, have awareness of what it looks like in your day to day.
Yeah.
Because we could talk about something, but we still have to live. It goes back to like what you're talking about. So you're writing on the blog, but what does it look like in practice? Mm-hmm. You know.
Man, this is dope. This has been a dope conversation. When I first thought about this conversation, I thought it was going to be, you know. I didn't know if it was going to be uh-oh. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
But this has been good. This has been good. I like this.
Okay.
Any final thoughts on this, Mashire? I think we kind of came to a nice little consensus and had a great conversation, hopefully for you, the listener, as well. But any thoughts?
Yes. The manosphere is, I don't know. I'm still learning about it, right? Yeah. I'm looking up terms, like looking up red pill and like basically if you're, you know, in the manosphere, you've taken the red pill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not a, I don't know.
It's like you're enlightened.
You're enlightened. Yes. Just like in the movie, The Matrix. Like in the Matrix. But more power to y'all. If that's what y'all doing and it's working for you.
You know.
I don't think I'm invited because I'm a woman. So
you're a manosphere sympathizer, I guess.
I don't know.
But anyway. Yeah. So let us know, y'all. This is what we want to start doing here. Let us know your thoughts. We want to make this interactive. This is community. You know what I'm saying? This is family. So let us know what you think about this conversation. Don't just let me and Shira talk. I mean, we talk all the time. I mean, that's not fun. But join in. And in the review section of the podcast you're listening to this on, or even via email or you know, one of our social media platforms, let us know what you think about this entire conversation. We would love to hear it. And we just want to thank you for checking out the Black Married and Debt Free podcast. We're almost shy. We're creeping up on 700,000 downloads.
Wow.
I never thought we'd get that high. Yeah. We're creeping up. Let's get us to 1 million, y'all. We want to get to 1 million before the end of the year. Let's do that. I think we can do it. So thank you. We're going to holler at y'all on the next one. All right. So for Black Married Debt Free, this is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
We're going to holler at y'all on the next one. Peace.
Bye.